Well, hopefully with a rookie, you wouldn't have to get there. Hopefully with a rookie, you might be able to get on the board more. Hopefully with a rookie, you wouldn't have to wait for Grant Delpit to intercept the dumbest pass of Jordan Love's career. I understand the value of the operational stuff with Joe Flacco. That doesn't, and I think it might for the Browns, but it shouldn't outweigh making plays, like hitting the open receiver. And I understand the offensive line, specifically the tackles, are in a bad spot. How do you negate having a bad tackle situation? Have a quarterback who get the damn ball out quicker.
Yeah, I mean, we sit here and it's like people throw out, well, Joe gives him the best chance to win. How much better is it going to be with a rookie quarterback, if not worse? It's like, how does it get much worse? You've put up the scores of 16, 17, and 13, and the offense hasn't looked good while they've done it, and they've had to be set up by the defense, and the one win they've gotten to put up 13 points.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be much. We have to stop acting like Joe Flacco is, well, he's doing everything right, and they, you know, everything's failing around him. I'm not saying everything's great around him, but he's also making his own mistakes as well.
Yeah, and the kind of mistakes, to me, they're the kind of mistakes that hold back a team, and it's when you don't trust your offensive line. He shouldn't, by the way, but you have to think past that if you're a quarterback. It is not playing within yourself. He's not. He's passing up passes. Or sorry, he's foregoing passes we saw him make with ease 2 years ago. And so that's the kind of stuff that the only way that gets done, guys, is by playing for the next 4 or 5 weeks and having something change. Well, what's easier to change? All your offensive tackles are a 40-year-old quarterback you didn't intend to play for the full season anyways. Like, we are getting awfully close to, if you don't hand this off to Joe at the right time, you're going to cost yourself more wins and maybe put that rookie in a worse position. And I really think, like, right now, they've got a team that's fighting for every victory that believes they can win. If you don't believe in your quarterback, that's the fastest way to stop believing that you can win.
It feels like to me, like, they're operating this entire situation with, like, kid gloves, basically, for Dillon Gabriel. Like, we've talked to you about the computer processing power and how great he, you know, can read a team where if we throw him out against, you know, a Packers defense, or I don't think the Lions defense is that great, but, like, Aiden Hutchinson's on the other side, he's going to pressure the quarterback, he's going to force Dillon into quick throws, probably even quicker than he wants to make, where if Dillon comes out and looks bad, well, they don't look so smart. And in that exact given week, you might hurt his confidence, but again, if the season is truly about winning, you can't tell me you've watched the offense operate for 3 weeks and think, yeah, this is getting much better and this is going to lead to wins.
Yeah, like, the first box you have to check is, does the offense give you a chance to win? And you cannot say, does the quarterback give you a chance to win? You can't say that with Joe yesterday. You sure can't say that with Joe 2 weeks ago. And I get this sense that the idea is, well, but it's just such a tough game. It's just such a tough game. Once you're in the middle of the game, nobody's thinking about that. All anyone's thinking is, are we having any sort of success? So maybe Kevin was right to say, well, going into Detroit, we're not. But yeah, Kevin already missed the easiest opportunity to see what Dillon had. Even if it was in the third quarter, once you got to the fourth quarter, it felt like it was 100-10. Or sorry, 100-0, not 10-0. And Kevin got lucky. Joe got lucky. They won that game because the defense made a timely play and then special teams cleaned it up. But the other part of this that I'm starting to feel comfortable with a rookie, be it Dillon, be it Shador. We know it's going to be Dillon first, but I'd feel comfortable go to either rookie in the near future is I think you've stumbled upon how you're going to win with Quinshon Judkins. I think that engine is getting closer and closer. And now to make sure opposing defenses don't shut him down, you just need to make a bare amount of plays. And by the way, it's not just down the field plays, although those help. No, just have these long, successful drives that when you need a throw, your quarterback can make them. And Joe he had a couple misses yesterday. They were telling you he's not feeling what he needs to feel to get anything done.
Yeah, I mean, the one that sticks out is obviously the Isaiah Bond miss on, I think it was third down, where he's wide open, still overthrows him. Like, he had to layer the throw, but it was still, Joe Flacco makes that throw, you know, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, if we're not talking about this year. I've seen him make that throw 20 times probably in a Browns uniform. Like, you can make those. It's just, okay, so if you're not going to do it this week, and Kevin and all them are saying it's still Joe, you're going back to Joe Flacco for this week, it's like, if you're playing the protection game in my eyes, if you're protecting Dillon Gabriel, like, by the time you feel like he's in a good position to actually start, your season might just be over anyway, and it might feel more like you're waving the white flag than if you did it now. Like, are you going to start him going into London off of a time change, playing what is still a good Vikings defense, or for the first time in a Browns uniform going into Pittsburgh? And then again, by week seven, I mean, if this team walks out 1-5, your chances on the season, even your chances on going in, you know, putting 7 wins on the board and inspiring confidence for next year, feel really low.
We got some calls on this, but 216-474-0092. Ronald saying on Twitter, at Nick Wilson says, so not having an O-line block is still Flacco's fault. No. You can have problems in front of Joe, but when Joe's not trusting the offensive line, and let's say he misses a wide-open receiver streaking across the field to do a check down because of that, yes, that Joe's decision-making is part of this. No matter how valid his lack of trust in the offensive line is. Oh, by the way, some of these plays do take time to develop. The whole point of Dillon Gabriel versus Joe is how quickly, and again, I hate saying this because I don't believe in Dillon Gabriel physically as a quarterback, but do I think he could make that read a little quicker? Yes, because that's the one thing. That and his ability to move are the two things I might be able to sell you on with Dillon Gabriel. Let's go with Dan in Amherst. Welcome to the show, Dan. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Well, I think I might have this figured out. I'm not sure. You know, Joe Flacco seems like a smart guy. He seems like he's intelligent. And I've been watching these guys play for over half a century, and wins are few and far between, so I don't want to sound like a Danny Downer. But Joe's got to be thinking to himself, it's one of three possibilities going on here. Either number one is, because Joe knows he's not that good. Either number one is Kevin just doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Number two, the guys behind me are really, really that bad. Or number three, I'm just a sacrificial lamb while these backups get better. I mean, that's only three possibilities I can think of what's happening in Kevin's mind, at least. Or if he really knows what's going on. Because Joe, I'm sure, doesn't realize he's playing as good as he thinks Kevin thinks he is. And that, I can't think of any other reason why you would put him out there week after week, unless this is a throwaway season like you guys have been talking about.
Dan,
thanks, I'll listen.
Dan, happy Browns victory Monday there. I wouldn't be surprised if the idea of having a quick leash is in Joe's mind. And I think actually that's why Joe's erring on the side of conservatism when he goes out there and some of the decisions he makes, because I think he knows he might be one interception away. And I get, like, from the Brown side of the one interception he did have yesterday, it was basically a punt. I mean, it was at the end of the first half. It was not a great interception, but certainly not one like his interception was last week with Nate Wiggins. That said, if a guy's thinking about, I can't throw this interception because I have to prove to them that I can keep this job, you're probably already screwed.
Yeah, like your job's gone at that point.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Joe for me is, okay, the whole reason Joe started, you can say it was, you know, basically to give the rookies time to get ready. The idea was that he was the quarterback that gave you the best chance to win, right? Like mm-hmm. he was going to be, if they were going to win games this year, it was going to be with Joe. The problem is, like, the leash for Joe for me was determined on how quickly that ends. I don't know that the Browns' chances to win games this year has ended. Like, they mm-hmm. showed that this week. There's still an opportunity. The defense will keep you in that. I think the offense showed you this week, though, with Joe as quarterback, our opportunity to win games on the offensive side has come to an end. So what's the point of sticking with Joe and not going to a rookie that can basically, at the very least, put out the same offensive output? Like, I don't care which guy you go to. If it was Shador, if it was Dillon Gabriel, I am pretty confident you could get to a similar output, at least in the box score at the end of the game, that looks like it did this week.
Well, and with Quinshon going, like if in the Ravens game, Quinshon had a moment or two, but he had one or two runs and that kind of padded his stats a little bit to what he really did. If you had put Dillon in for a prolonged part of that game, you were screwing that kid. He didn't have a chance. Same thing with the Cincinnati game, because you had no way to move the ball. Now, with Quinshon running, really what you're looking for is, can he hit 25 or 30 passes? Can he take 3 or 4 shots down the field? And can he just not screw up? And, like, again, the three things that Dylan Gabriel has going for him. He doesn't throw turnovers. He's mobile. And he's supposed to read the defense really, really quickly so he can get the ball out quickly. Two of those three things are not happening right now. Three of those three things are not happening right now. Even if the turnover on Sunday wasn't egregious. Let's go with Nate in Cleveland. Nate, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hello, Cleveland. It's a big dog defense day. What an amazing defense that we just saw.
That was awesome, man. Happy Browns Victory Monday, by the way, Nate.
Yeah, this is my first time. I love Cleveland. 39, and you know, I just want to see something good happen. So I want to just talk about Joe. I think Dylan looks like the guy, but I want to just bring up the NFL speed and the things that are happening and what we're seeing. We're seeing better athletes. And I also want to just make the comment that Joe is a proven winner, and I think that we need to go with him and not freak out and do what we've done. We've been through 40 quarterbacks. So that's more of an emotional response. But, yes, I think Dylan may need to play here pretty soon.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. Happy Browns Victory Monday there. The whole thing about being a proven winner is you have to keep proving it. And Joe has not proven. I know he had the five-game stretch in 2023. And it's so interesting. Like, so much of the conversation we're having is maybe about what Dylan might be able to do. I think it's about what Joe can't do. To me, this is not a praise of Dylan. I think there is a tremendous amount of risk going to a rookie, whether it's now or 4 weeks from now. I cannot tell you it's going to work. I just know this isn't working. Even with the Green Bay win, it's not working. And I don't, with a 40-year-old quarter, I don't see Joe getting any quicker. I don't see Joe getting any more comfortable in what he's being asked to do because it's so counterintuitive to what his actual skill set is.
We're asking Dylan to be not even average. You're just asking him to not turn the ball over again. Like, the three things you highlighted that he is good at is basically what they're asking the quarterback to do right now. Move a little bit, complete the easy passes, get him out quickly. Like, if there was fear that Dylan could not do that, I would imagine Kenny Pickett's probably on the roster right now, or some other veteran quarterback would be on the roster right now. They wouldn't have made Dylan the backup if they didn't think there was a chance he could go and step in and do it. Again, it's not about, it is more about what Joe can't do, but there's clearly a skill set there from Dylan that he can operate the offense when the time comes. It's just, I think that time crept up on you a little quickly. But again, you made him the backup quarterback week one. You think there's something there. And when Joe's not giving you any of it, it's like, yeah, that leash needs to be, you know, sort of unhooked. You need to let Joe loose and go either help the rookies on the bench, or if you need to do the best by him and basically let Joe go, then so be it. But Joe is what Joe is, and he's shown that over 10 years. He hasn't been a proven winner. It's been a decade.
216-474-0092. Should the Browns have benched Joe Flacco during the game yesterday? And are they making the right decision staying with him going forward? And it was not just a win on the field for the Browns on Sunday. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.